How are we? Happy after Thanksgiving. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 31. We'll begin there shortly. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving with family, friends, food, shopping, all the whole nine. Our family had a special treat. We just got back from a cruise. And as we sang Oceans today, I saw that image and I was like, oh, that reminds me of what we just got off of. And very grateful to be able to go spend a week with the Graminias and celebrated Peyton's 18th birthday on Friday. And had an awesome time. I thought I would put this up for just a little while because if you see me doing this number, a little sway back and forth, I still feel like I'm moving. And so I felt like you could relate with me here and feel my pain, and it's just a weird feeling, but you know, it's great being away. I miss kind of being with my family, but if I'm going to be away from my family, being in tropical islands is a good place to be. But you know, we kind of do the every other year kind of thing with the family. So this Thanksgiving was with the Graminias, next Thanksgiving's with the Holtz. That's kind of how we try to keep things fair. We play fair, right? But as growing up, especially on the Holt side of the family, for the holidays, we would go and meet all together, cousins, uncles, aunts, grandparents, the whole nine. We would meet together at my grandparents' house for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And as a kid, there was probably 20-plus people. But as us, as children, got older and got married and we started multiplying, bearing fruit, we have 50 plus that would meet together at my grandmother's house. And we'd go through the buffet line and get all of your favorites. And I just came off a cruise and I ate and ate. I feel like I have gained 15 pounds that I had just lost a month before. But I'm back to where I was, so now I get to start over before Christmas, right? That's kind of how that works. But here's some of the things. You know, you got to have your turkey and your ham and your dressing and your mashed potatoes and the sweet potato casserole, right? And the green bean casserole. We have something there in my family. It's the vegetable casserole. And I don't really like vegetables a lot, but this thing is good. It's probably because they put all the bad stuff in there as a casserole to make it, you cover it up. David talked about that a couple weeks ago about the salad dressing method, right? About you just pour the ranch on top. You can't taste anything else. It all tastes like ranch. That's kind of how this vegetable casserole is. It just all tastes the same, but hey, I'm eating my vegetables, Megan. There's a mushroom and rice casserole. You've never heard of it. You got to have that one. That one's good. My Aunt Wita. You got to have an Aunt Wita. That's for real. That's her name. She always brings that. The deviled eggs. Any other kind of casserole you can think of, man, we just piled it on. Not even to mention all the cakes and all the goodies. We had, like, on our trip this week, we had an all-you-can-eat ice cream machine. Woo, I'm telling you, we tore that up, didn't we, boys? All right, then we would go through the line, buffet line. We would get our food, and we would go to our designated tables. You all know what I'm talking about when you say designated tables, don't you? Let me show you. All right, this is back in the, I don't know how long ago this is. I said, Mom, send me some pictures of our families over the holidays. That's my late grandfather there on the left side, H.I. Holt, and his lovely wife, Irma, that you see with the moons, I guess, there on that. I don't know what that is. My dad is on the far end. My mom's taking the picture. She's in no pictures. Poor woman. But this is the adult table, and it's the one that's nearest to the buffet line. All right, so there's that one next. All right, here is us in the kitchen, and that's me in the good old sport in the Coca-Cola sweatshirt. My sister here is two over for me turning. We pose. We just know. My mom's taking a picture, turn and pose. The other people aren't even looking, but we're looking. You see that? So that's us. That's the kids' table. That looks like some old kids, though, right? I don't even know those guys. They were one of my uncles married five times, one of his wife's kids. I don't know who they are. Anyway, sorry, Gary, if you listen to this. Sorry about that, buddy. Okay, next. This is us a little bit older, kind of those teen years. I'm wearing some outfit. Megan's like, I remember you wearing that. I don't know what that thing is. It's like I've got a hoodie, and maybe there's come back in style one day. My sister there, my cousins, and one of the girlfriends here in the front. I liked her a lot. She was really sweet, but he didn't marry her. My cousin Zachary is in the Santa hat. Actually, Zachary passed away at 18. He died in a car accident. He was probably my closest cousin. But anyway, that's a great picture. But that's still us, a little bit older, but we're still in the same room. Now, move forward here. All right, Megan's joined the family, and we have made it into the room, but not the table. We have our own little table. My cousin Jeremy's here. We're off to the side in exile. But we at least made the room, but we didn't make the table. Now, here's the deal. One time, my cousin Jeremy's brother, Jake, he made the adult table. And he didn't even talk to us. He walked right by like he was big stuff. And he sat there, and we were like, Jake, what's up, man? And he didn't even talk to us. That's where he made it to the big table. Can any of you relate to that? Yeah, we've all kind of had those different tables. And I think there's good for that. But I think it's good to mix it up sometimes as well. But speaking of that, it's great to have the kids in worship service with us this morning. Mixing it up a little bit, instead of us just having our adult worship and the kid worship upstairs, sometimes it's good to worship as a family. And we try to keep it to an hour, which it's already 11 o'clock, so I'm sorry. Just hold tight. I'll try to be animated, kids. I'll try to keep it going. Just came off of a cruise, a Disney cruise, and so maybe we might have some characters come out. No, I'm just kidding. We won't do any of that. But it's great to have the kids in here with us. Look around for a second. We are a multi-generational church, which is awesome. I'm going to go through some generations for just a second. And let me see if we have anyone born in between 1901 and 1926. That was known as the GI generation. Do we have any takers? Yeah, there you go. There's one. Let's give it up. Woo! I knew we had some that were close. That's the GI generation. And then something as the silent generation or the greatest generation. I don't know what exactly they mean by them calling themselves the greatest. I don't know if they named themselves that or not, but those of you that were born in the 1927 to 1945, let me see it. Woo! Give me a little of this. Can y'all do a little of this? A little back and forth? A little... No? Okay. They didn't want to do that. Well, the greatest generation, the silent generation. And then we have the boomers, the baby boomers. Soldiers come back for more, and they multiply. Keep it G in here, right? With kids. Born 1946 to 64. Let me hear you. Boomer! The boomers. All right. Gen X. Yeah, that's us. Come on. 1965 to 1980. How about it? Let's give me some X. The X factor. Gen X. Whoop. Yeah. All right. Then we've got the Generation Y. Gen Y, better known, especially these days, as the millennials. Right? And now, listen, they always get a bad rap, don't they? Already. Talking about getting those trophies for participating, and that's the problem with our world. Well, here's the problem. The parents are the ones giving them to them. The coaches are the ones giving it to them. So it's back on you. 1981 through 2000. Let me hear you, Ys. Give me some Ys. Woo! Millennials, yeah, good job. Yeah, get to work. Go do something. No. Move out of your parents' house. Why don't you? No, I'm just kidding. No, I love the millennials. And then Gen Z. Born Generation Z, 2000 and later. So if you're like 16 and younger, let me hear ya. Come on, let me hear ya. Come on, kids. It's church, but you can be loud in church. Come on. Yeah, all right. Here's the deal. We want every person, no matter their age, gender, race, political views, to feel a part of our church family. In Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 12, did I tell you guys to turn to Deuteronomy 31? All right, we'll get there in a minute. 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about how we are one body, but many parts. Amen? And he talks about how weird it would be if we were all an ear. Kids, wouldn't that be weird if we just your body looked like an ear? It's a lot of wax. That's kind of gross. Or a big nose. If we are just a nose, kids, you know what? Some big boogers. I'm just going to say it. That's gross. Just a lot of mess. One body, many parts. How we're all different shapes, sizes, ages, backgrounds, but we come together to make something beautiful. We need each other, right? If we were without our nose, we would look pretty weird, right? If we didn't have our ears, I would look pretty weird. I hurt my pinky toe twice going on this cruise, and it hurt like crazy. And I don't think much about my pinky toe, but when it gets hurt, you feel it. Your body, my body ached. I thought I broke my toe the day we were leaving on the cruise. That's not a fun feeling. And then we were on an excursion, and I got tripped up on a rock and just scraped the pinky toe again. And I'm telling you, that hurts. It hurts really bad. Let me hear some. Okay. Don't cheer. That's what Peyton does. Peyton laughs if you get hurt, which I do that too, but Peyton really does it. Okay, real quick. 3 weeks ago, I did a sermon, and I was going to go through a lot of it, but for time's sake, and just kind of recap it, go listen to it if you weren't here. All right, go to our website and listen to it. Here's the overarching theme. I talked about Moses, right? And Moses being called by God, and he didn't really want to answer that call. He was like, is there someone else that you could send to free your people? But God says, no, I want you to go and free my people. And spoiler alert here, if you haven't seen the movie Prince of Egypt, that's what he does. He frees his people. God sends Moses to free his people from Pharaoh, and the Israelites cross over the Red Sea. And I talked a little bit about personally about Moses' interaction with his father-in-law, Jethro. And this is in Exodus 18, where Jethro questions Moses on why he was the only person to sit as the judge for the people. Why was it just him? Why didn't he get some more help? And he says, look, what you're doing is not good. It's not good. You're going to wear yourself out. You're going to get worn out. You're going to get tired. It's not healthy for you, and it's not good for your people. And I talked about how, for me personally, it really spoke to me, and how I feel like a lot of times I can be like Moses in that sense of just wanting to do it myself. And I had the confession of I like being missed. If I'm not here, did y'all miss me last week, I wonder? Yeah. You missed me last. You missed me so much. Thank you, Teresa. I know you did. I know. But how I like being missed, I like kind of being in control of things. I know how things need to be done and transitions and that sort of thing, but it's not good for me. I've got to learn to let go of those things so other people can grow and rise up. And how I've seen that within student ministry, I've seen that within our worship ministry, being able to do that. That day after church, we had lunch with the Dixons, and our server took our order. And I used to be a server for 3 years, and I had this awesome technique of how to do it and how to get it right, and I'd write everything down. Well, this girl comes up there, and she stands, and she takes our order but doesn't write it down. She's a millennial, by the way. She doesn't write it down, and she goes away. And I said, that drives me nuts. And Vicky was like, this is perfect for you. You're a control freak, and let her do her thing. She knows how to do it, you know, that kind of thing. And I was like, I know, but just write it down. You don't have to impress me. I'd rather you get my order right. I'm not kidding. 3 minutes later, she comes back and says, I'm so sorry. I totally forgot what you ordered and what you ordered. And I said, bam, I told you I was right. Anyway, prove my point. Anyway, all right, we're going to pick up in Deuteronomy 31. Moses, he listened to Jethro, which is awesome. He listened to the advice. We're going to read it here. He raised up someone else to take over after him. And that person here in Deuteronomy 31 the heading says, Joshua to succeed Moses. So there we go. We know who it's going to be. So in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 31, then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old. He's past the GI generation. I am no longer able to lead you. He's like, I've gotten to a point where I can't be effective. I can't lead you anymore. I'm no longer able to do this. The Lord tells him, you're not going to cross the Jordan. But Joshua will cross ahead of you. And then goes on in verse 7, says, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them in their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So he calls. Moses says, okay, I can't do it anymore. I need someone else to take over. And Joshua was that person. So then we see right after that in Deuteronomy 34 at the end of the book, Moses does pass. And in verse 9 of Deuteronomy 34, it says, now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. So he basically calls Joshua, and then Joshua steps up and picks up that torch of leadership that Moses, after Moses has died. He leads the Israelites into the promised land. Later on, he marches around the city of Jericho, and they witness the walls of the city fall down. They witness so many great things under the leadership of Joshua. However, there was a flaw of Joshua. Look in Judges chapter 2. In his leadership, he did a lot of great things, and they witnessed a lot of great things. But look in Judges chapter 2. Pick up in verse 6. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. So the people throughout that lifetime, Joshua and the elders, they served the Lord through that time. Verse 8, Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance. In verse 10, after that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, in other words, after that whole generation had died, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Wow, check that out. So Moses died. He says, I can't do it anymore. I'm going to hand it over. I've got Joshua to carry that torch. Joshua lives until 110. He dies. That generation dies out. But then the generation after them, what happens? They don't know God. They don't know all the things that God had done. They forgot. They hadn't heard about those things. They were like a distant past. I mean, they were gone. What a tragedy. He didn't pass it on. Because of that, they suffered for many, many years. God eventually did raise up judge and appointed judges. Here we're reading in Judges, because that's what God did. Since there was no real leader there, God appointed judges to step up and to save his people. But Joshua, he dropped the ball, didn't he? He didn't pass it on to the next generation. I want to show you a video clip. And this clip here happened to be in the 2015 Track and Field World Championships. This is a women's event. It's a 4x200 relay. And the United States is in this. And you'll kind of see as we watch the video here, I'm going to kind of make my way over here to the lights. You'll just see what happens to the United States.
Away cleanly. But this massive stag up will be difficult to tell who's going well. But obviously at the moment it is Solomon United States that's running well. Just on the outside also, Dakoma of France running well. And on the inside in lane three, Jamaica also putting an effort in. Henry Robertson running well. But it's the United States now with Solomon coming into this changeout. It's United States in the lead.
And for the United States, Kimberly Duncan taking the baton now, and she's runners outside, they're just pulling up, but it's United States. Germany, of course, have run well right on the outside, and on the middle lanes we've got Jamaica and Nigeria, but this is the United States of America who are going to take a big lead after two laps, then the battle on in lanes three and four.
United States look as though they're away. This is Geneva Tamo on the third leg, and the lead is a big one. For Nigeria in pursuit, Regina George, but the United States are flying down that back straight, and the final leg for the United States is going to be run by the great Alison Felix. Terrific support for the Bahamians, who are making up some ground, but the United States hand over in front.
Oh, now there's a calamitous changeover, the USA crashing out, the lead has counted for nothing, and Nigeria storming around the bend with nobody close to them. Bahamas are making a terrific run. For the Bahamas, closing in is Shaun A. Miller. Is she going to be able to close the gap? Out in front is Chris Udo. Shaun A. Miller running hard all the way through to the line. Nigeria first, Bahamas second, Jamaica third. And we mentioned the fact that the relay changeovers could well be precarious. But the USA have practically gifted Nigeria two-lap relay gold in this women's final. They are absolutely distraught because the changeover where Alison Felix was hoping to pick up and consolidate and increase that lead from Geneva Tabo, well, it's gone up in smoke like we're seeing from the pyrotechnics here.
And what about the Jamaicans as well? They were expected to be up there contending, and from second leg onwards, they were nowhere.
There is a catalogue of errors here. Let's just look. This was the problem. This was Felix trying to get the baton unsuccessfully from Tamo.
But the thing was, they had a margin there. They had a margin of error, as it were, because they could have just relaxed.
Wow. So what happened? Could you see it? No. I'll tell you. No. So what happened? Four of the fastest women in the world had a huge lead. I mean, blowing away the competition, weren't they? And every time it was the relay. So they would run the 200 and then they would pass it off. And this is my baton. I don't know where I found this sometime, but I thought this might come in handy. And it sure did. So for this sermon. So they were going, and they have an exchange zone, and it's 20 meters from where one runner can come in, the other one has to time it, and then they go and they pass off, and then they take off and run their next part of the relay. And it worked great almost to the very end. We had a huge lead. It was just basically handing off the baton to the last person, and they coasted to victory. But we dropped it. We dropped the baton. Can you imagine how devastated they felt for not being able to pass it on and complete it? And I talked about how Moses passed it on to Joshua, but then Joshua, he dropped it. He dropped it. He didn't pass on that baton of faith, we'll call it, to the next generation. And we have a great multitude of generations right here, which is awesome. But I think for us as a church, if we're not careful, we can miss handing off our baton of faith in the exchange zone if we're not careful. So I don't know exactly where this sermon is going to fall in line with where you are right now. Maybe you're on the baby boomer side or the greatest generation side, and you're looking and you've ran an awesome race, and you're finishing out your race. But there's a time that comes where you need to pass it on to someone else. Or maybe you're a Gen X, maybe you're a millennial, and you're running along, and you're waiting, and you're in that zone, and you're waiting to be handed the torch, to be handed the baton. Are you going to take it, or is there going to be a miss of exchange there? And I think for us as a church, I want us to be careful not to miss out on passing it on to the next generation. And when I say next generation, I don't know what comes to your mind. If you automatically kind of skip some of the middle generations and you go to like the Gen Zs and say, okay, well, the kids, if we talk about them, the kids, the elementary school, maybe middle school, maybe high school, that's the next generation. Well, I think the next generation is whatever comes after yours is the next generation. So for the greatest generation, it's the boomers. The boomers, it's Gen X. For Gen X, it's Gen Y. Gen Y is Z. I mean, we're all in there. But what? Where are you in this race? Where are you in this race? We need a generation of people who are committed to running their leg of the race, and then at that appropriate time, pass it on in the exchange zone, that baton of faith in the hands of the next generation. Here's the problem. It's not that easy. As we saw, these people train and train and train to do this in the sense of just a physical race, but in a spiritual race, it's challenging to pass it on, to hand it off, to entrust other people. What causes some challenges? Well, we like things the way that they are. We don't like change. If you're the generation that's kind of, you like being in control. I talked about that with me personally. I like things, and oh, to give it off, oh, it's gonna, what if they do it differently? What if they don't do it? What if they mess up? Ooh, I know how to do it. I'm gonna keep it. I'm gonna hold it. Well, then you hold on for so long, and then you're out of the exchange zone, and it's too late. You're disqualified because you didn't allow to teach, to train, to trust that next generation, the next ones in line. To think that we know best, we can do it better than anyone else. I mean, the society is, they're honing in on this whole generation issue right now. I mean, even Survivor. How many of you love Survivor? I mean, right now, what's the one going on? Millennials versus Gen X. That is what's happening right now. Playing the war of what's it going to look like to pin them against the others and who's going to outlast the other. Which one is the best generation? And then they mix them up, and then they have to work together, and they're hating each other, but then there's some connection, and then there's betrayal, and then they... But that's what the world and society depend against each other, isn't it? In Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, those that have gone before us, right? Let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, people that have gone before us, that have ran their race ahead of us. And those that are going to come after us, we're going to be those, the witnesses, watching what they do, seeing them rise up. Generations before, generations after. Let's run the race marked out for us. Those women had 200 meters to do their best. But then after that 200 meters, it's like it's time to pass it. And you've got to be ready, that next person, to take it and carry it on to completion or to the next stop. Run your own race. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. Don't quit. Others are depending on you. Do our part. It's a spiritual relay. It's not just an individual sprint. Our lives impact so many others. It's not just about you. There's so many others that are impacted. Will we be ready to pass it on in the spiritual exchange zone? Don't drop the baton of faith, and don't hold on to it for too long. Because what happens if you drop it, if you hold on to it, you leave a gap. There's an empty lane where no one can run. And you miss out. Joshua, they missed out on that generation to come right after him. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. What's it going to take for us to have that transition? It's going to take strong, secure, confident, humble people, members who are willing and know when to pass it on. To hand it over to someone else and to say, here, it's your turn. I've come as far as I can. I want you to take us. takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of security. Confidence, not just in you, but in God. Like maybe God has a plan. Moses was an awesome leader, but Moses wasn't the one to take them in. God had a plan for someone else to take them in, to carry them that next leg. Are you willing to let go? And are you willing to accept it? Are you willing to receive it? We need people who are willing to carry it, who appreciate those that have come before us, have come before you, and appreciate that and respect that and be grateful for their life, their faith, their legacy that they're leaving. To not drop it, to not let it be in vain. To carry it securely. Be grateful for their faith, their perseverance, their sacrifice. And if you're receiving it, you need to be patient. Wait for your time. Don't come and try to catch it too soon. And then don't wait too long. You know, I don't know where you are. I don't know which leg of the race you're on. If you feel like you're towards the end and you're ready to pass it, some of you are like, ooh, let me throw it. Let me get it to you fast, you know. Some of you are not, I don't know if I'm ready to let go because you like the way that you do it. I think there's this whole piece of God's plan that we've got to surrender to, church. To surrender to that, to trust Him, to trust what He's going to do through Cornerstone. I mean, I look at the faces of the young in here, and I love it, and I love it. But to be honest, I feel like we've got some gaps. We've got some gaps. And I'm not going to go into exactly all the specifics of that, but I feel like that's an area that we've got to really pray about. For people to rise up and to say, I'm willing to take it. Not for my own glory. You know, it's not like, you know, sometimes it's like if you're on the last, you're the last one of the relay, you get that, whoo, you cross the finish line, the lights are on you. You know, that kind of thing. It's not about getting the glory. That's not what it's about. It's about doing our part, being willing to do our part. I want to give you a couple of things to think about. Going back to the whole Moses, Joshua, Jethro. Think about Jethro. I want you to think about who is your Jethro? Who's in your life that's giving you advice, that you're getting advice from? Someone saying, hey, what you're doing is not good. You need to pass it, spread the wealth a little bit. Do you have someone in your life that's helping you pass it on? Who's your Moses? Who are you willing to learn from? Who are you willing to imitate and see their race? I mean, Megan and I, we have people in our lives that we cherish the times that we get with them to learn from them. The Carscallons, the Dixons, the Mathises. There's different times, different phases. We've had other families in our lives that we look to who can we imitate? Who can we learn from? Who's your Moses? Then who's your Joshua? Who's the person that you're going to train? Who's the person that you're raising up? And I don't know what realm you have, what part of the race you're running, kind of in terms of Cornerstone as a whole. But think about who am I helping? I love this morning, Kathy had a couple of different people back there working ProPresenter. Just trying, and it was Serena Cole was back there, and she was trying to follow along with Andrew during practice. Training. That's awesome. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take people. And it's hard for me to, I'm having to give it to Kathy, aren't I? And say, here, Kathy, because I just want to go do it because I know how to do it fast and I can just get quick, right click. But it's like, no, step back. Okay, here, you do it here, and walk them through it. It takes that. It takes letting go. I'm having to still learn that. Are you ready and willing to pass that baton of faith on? Are you ready, willing, and able to receive it? Let's be a church that passes on the baton of faith to the next generation. Amen. Let's pray.